Pleased to have with me in the studio today, Ken Cook, the Director of Public Works for the City of Astoria, and we're going to be talking about various infrastructure kind of stuff, and it's going to be wildly exciting, so I urge you to stick around. Ken, thanks for showing up.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
I'd like to start out by getting you to talk a little bit about your kind of your biography.
It's pretty complex.
We've got time.
I was born in Long Beach, California, grew up in Southern California. My father built a 50-foot steel-hulled sailboat, and I lived on the water for probably, 10 years or better, and we go to different harbors. I went to all kinds of different schools. I don't think I was in the same school for more than 6 months at a time. Then I was deckhand and then eventually a skipper of a 72-foot brigantine square rig sailboat. Just going to kind of cut through all of the detail, but eventually joined the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard's what brought me to Astoria. It was my first duty assignment was on a buoy tender here. And then I had 2 years on that, and I was the executive petty officer for the 8th Navigation Team for the remainder of my enlistment. And then they said they wanted to ship me off to Miami, Florida to fight drug runners, and I go, I like Astoria. And so I opted to not re-enlist and worked in Alaska as a relief captain on a research vessel. And then there was an opening I saw in our paper here for a utility worker for the Public Works Department. And so I, for $6.25 an hour, I said, let's give this a try. And through a variety of different, circumstances and opportunities, I worked my way up in different positions, worked up to the position of superintendent, and then when the director's position opened, I threw my hat in the ring, and I was appointed in 2006. I was appointed as director of public works.
That, Paul Benoit did that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So now you're in charge of this crumbling infrastructure that serves this historic and well-worn community. One thing I'd like to start out with, we have really one source of water, and that's from the headworks up by Swenson where the big dam is, and then a pipeline comes down Pipeline Road. Now, if there were to be a landslide or something on Pipeline Road, take out that pipe, how much storage do we have as far as water?
Well, in the city, we have two reservoirs and two tanks. Basically, the tanks that serve Emerald Heights, it's 300,000 gallons. Reservoir number three is 20 million gallons, and reservoir number two is 5.5 million gallons.
Well, how much is that in
days? So in days of usage, we're probably talking 4 or 5 days. The issue becomes the residents at the higher elevations would, as that water level dropped, they would lose pressure, and so the water may not come out of the faucet as fast during that time interval. We have recognized that we are vulnerable, and that pipeline that does come to the city, and we got a FEMA grant to relocate one section of that transmission main out of a geologically unstable area.
And yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so.
But the city has water rights at an alternate site, correct me if I'm wrong, up Youngs River.
That is correct. Pete, the founders of Astoria many, many years ago were planning for potential growth, and they secured water rights on Youngs River, and which is a substantial water right.
Any plans to utilize that water?
At this point in time, in which the people that founded Astoria probably wouldn't have thought, but the population of Astoria has just remained kind of locked in at around 10,000 people for decades. And don't really see that changing in the near future.
Well, what I was getting at, Ken, is that it could be developed as an alternate water source. So if something did go wrong with the pipeline, we'd still be able to have water after 5 days.
We're actively keeping that water right in current status so that it can be utilized at basically any time that the city decides that it's needed.
You know, many years ago, Mark Mead was the city engineer at Seaside, and he came up with the idea of interconnecting some of these water systems and went out for bid to connect Seaside to Gearhart. And at the time I was in the construction business, we were low bidder, so we made that connection. So, you know, Seaside has its own water source up in Canicum. And Gearhart, of course, now they have their own water source, kind of direct recycling there. But it seems to me that it would make sense to formulate some kind of an area-wide plan for water distribution.
Well, coincidentally, there was a study done, and there is a plan that's on the shelf that basically utilizes Young's River as the main source of water. It has more water flow than any other river in the Clatsop County area, and then distribute that water regionally to Seaside, Warrenton, Astoria. So that has been identified as, you know, for potential future growth and redundancy in the water line, the water systems. That study has been conducted.
Any price tag involved in that?
I'm trying to recollect. I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 100 million.
You know, since that time, City of Warrenton put in a bunch of 12-inch ductile iron that goes from their connection point down by Dolphin Road all the way out to the airport. And so it makes that connection less expensive, mm-hmm, because part of it's been done.
Right.
That being the case, I wonder what the cost would be to interconnect everything.
You would need to have an under-the-river line there at the Lewis and Clark River, then come across the Young's Bay Bridge. You'd have to identify what the pressure differentials are and either pump and or pressure reduce, but it is feasible.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that long ago that those kind of underwater crossings were really expensive, but since then the technology of directional boring and drilling has really improved, and so it's gotten a lot more reasonable to do that kind of stuff.
Right. We've taken advantage of that technology, and it's very cost-effective for certain situations, and which would make doing that interconnect a lot less expensive.
Young's River, Lewis and Clark Water District has been replacing a lot of water lines out there, almost all by directional bores. And they claim they save a lot of money, a lot, mm-hmm, of wear and tear, a lot of traffic control issues don't come into play, and it seems like a pretty reasonable way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've done it, just as an aside, it's not only for water systems, it's for sewer systems as well. We've made multiple sewer repairs using that technology, and especially where the lines are deep and would require extensive trench shoring. It's really worked to our advantage.
Yeah, some of the sewer lines in this town are really deep, and what's amazing is that they were dug in by hand pretty much by a lot of the Chinese immigrants.
Yes, I mean, a lot of the infrastructure that the city of Astoria is utilizing to this day is it's over 100 years old, and it's still functioning. Some of it, yes, it needs to be replaced, and we've been working through our basically our capital asset management program. We've been replacing the worst of, and we just continue to do that.
One of the things, you know, from my perspective, that's really sucking up the infrastructure budget is this combined sewer overflow plan. Now, you might recall that I argued against it. I was on the council at the time, and I urged the city not to sign that stipulation agreement with the DEQ. And as usual, I was ignored. So we're spending about $40 million of, you know, that's a lot of money for a little town of 10,000 people. So that doesn't that put a crimp in your plans to improve the infrastructure?
It definitely has made it extremely challenging to keep up with the aging infrastructure without having to go through this federally mandated program, which, you know, there's people on both sides of the fence and people in between. But the fact is that, you know, the Astoria's sewer system was not constructed to capture all of the sewage and treat the sewage. And so during periods of heavy rainfall, the sewage washes out into the river. You can debate whether or not that pollution is having an impact on anything given the volume of water that it's being discharged into. But the same thing is that if everybody did that, then we'd have a real big problem. So I think there's merit to the fact that we want to keep any pollutants from going into our water, around our surrounding waters, and affecting wildlife, from microbes to fish to seals and everything else. But back to your fundamental question, does it tax our ability to maintain other things that a town would normally be addressing? Yes, it does.
Just for our listeners, that initially when Astoria was developed, all the water was combined and went directly into the river. And then in the early 70s, due to a federal mandate, interceptor system was put around the peninsula that is Astoria, and that intercepts most of the that water and sends it over to the treatment plant. But I think what you're talking about is when it rains, mm-hmm. which it tends to do around here, like yesterday. Boy, it rained yesterday. And it overtaxes those diversion manholes, and that's when we get a little bit of discharge mm-hmm. into the river. Now, I remember when this was coming about, Mike Coccovano, who was city engineer at the time, did a dilution study, mm-hmm. Which I didn't pay much attention to. And, of course, it was ignored by the regulatory agencies. But could you tell us a little bit about that dilution study?
Well, I don't have direct knowledge of that study, but I just can tell you just anecdotally from a common sense perspective, you know, when you look out at the expanse of the Columbia, you know, and we're approximately 4 miles over to the Washington shore, in how much water is flowing down the Columbia, the discharge that Astoria would produce during a heavy rainfall event, truly, it could be argued that it's inconsequential. But the thing that I have looked at since I've been in this profession is that it's all incremental. If all of the upriver cities did not treat their sewage, you combine that with the sewage that Astoria produces, then you do begin to have a significant pollutant.
But when you intercept the sanitary sewage and send it to the treatment plant, it really cuts into the crawdad population.
I've heard that from local residents that they, as children, they would go out and they'd go looking for crawdads, and once the treatment plant was put in, the population of crawdads went down. Yes.
Well, now if crawdads were an endangered species, we might have a different argument. But I see by the clock on the wall that it's time for me to remind folks that this is Coast Community Radio, and we're sitting here with Terry Wilson, our excellent engineer. And we're visiting with Ken Cook, the Public Works Director for City of Astoria. Now, I know we've got some different projects coming up here. One I think that might be close to coming is the bridge up on Irving Street.
Yeah, the bridge at 19th and Irving, that's approximately a $5.5 to $6 million replacement project that will be starting this summer. The design is complete. We've been working very intensely over the past year on refining that design. And yes, that will take approximately 1 year, and that will be closed during that period of time for that construction.
Wow, I didn't know this would be totally closed, but I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about the design, what's going to happen up there, and then expand a little bit on the traffic closure. What's going to happen to people that live there?
Well, versus when we replaced the 38th and Franklin Bridge, which essentially that was the only way in and out of that community. There was no alternate routes. What we did was do the work with a contractor. The bridge was built one half at a time, so it kept one lane open during the construction, and then they would shift over and construct the other half of the bridge. With the Irving Bridge, there is, on both directions, there's alternate routes to get out of the community. And what most people don't know, if you do that one half construction trying to keep the bridge open, it essentially almost it adds a third to the price of the construction. Because the contractor's not able to just mobilize, get in, and just start construction and not have to worry about, you know, saving the other half of the bridge during construction. So
on the east side of that, then they would go down Irving and then down 36th or something like that?
33rd. Yeah, 33rd is where the traffic light is at Safeway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What other big-time projects you got on the books?
Well, we've been working in partnership with Columbia Memorial Hospital and the school district out on the development of a sports complex out on the former landfill site that has it's been a great opportunity to achieve multiple goals. You know, first and foremost, the ability of the hospital to be able to expand its services and facilities. And at the same time, we are achieving formal closure through the Department of Environmental Quality of the former landfill site. And so that's been one of multiple things that we're engaging in.
Well, City of Astoria has been in violation of that closure mandate since, 1989 or something like that?
I believe so. It was, there was inaction.
Well, that's a big job for, again, I stress, a big job for a little town.
I like to say we're a big little city because we're not that large, but we have many of the same issues that larger communities, larger cities are dealing with.
Oh, somebody's coming to the door here. Thank you.
A very good message, but somebody inquired about the bridge on 33rd. They're going to replace it.
33rd in Irving.
Yes. The bridge at 33rd in Irving has, and just so everybody knows, the bridges are inspected annually by contract bridge inspectors for the Oregon Department of Transportation and as a service to the cities. And that bridge is in excellent shape. It is a timber structure. It probably, based on the inspection reports, it's probably looking at least 15 years more life in it. It's been well maintained. In contrast to the two bridges that we've done recently, we did the 38th and Franklin Bridge. That was a $5 million replacement. We're set to go for the 19th and Irving. Both those bridges were in very poor shape. But the 33rd and Irving Bridge is in very good shape. And we will continue to maintain it, keep the road surface crack sealed, and do the things that are necessary to keep it in good shape. And like I said, we're 15 years away from needing to do a replacement.
Getting back to the sports complex, there's four partners in that development: the City of Astoria, Columbia Memorial Hospital, Recology,
right,
and the school district.
Right,
that's the four, and it's apparently about a $7 or $8 million project. What is the financial impact for the City of Astoria?
Financial impact for the city of Astoria is approximately $600,000. And the reason why we're contributing that is there's several reasons. One is that we're funding the basically a liner that encapsulates the playing field so that any landfill gases can't migrate up into the playing area. And then also some of the utility cost is being split for the potential that the city shop's operations yard would be located out at the former land on another corner, another portion of that site in the future.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. The city shop's property is right on the river. And I'm sure that it was built many years ago. Nobody thought that the riverfront would develop the way that it has. How far away are you from being able to move that facility and open up that property to more aesthetically pleasing developments?
Well, that would hinge on a potential developer coming in and having a vision and saying, okay, if this wasn't here, you know, what could I do with it? And it would require that developer would have to provide the city with enough cash to physically move that yard, that facility. But if it was combined with the former concrete plant, and that it would be pretty valuable at some point. When would that occur? I really don't know.
Well, has the city contemplated being more proactive in that regard and perhaps acting in a way as a developer to make that project happen?
There has not been any plans there hasn't been a direction given by council to do that. But we are looking ahead, and the council has, I think, been proactive in looking at the opportunity during this development of the landfill property to participate in some of the infrastructure that would be necessary to have the yard located there.
Now, if the sports complex construction just didn't happen and it wasn't even contemplated, the city would still be facing the need to close that landfill because we've been dumping garbage up in that canyon since when? 1928 or something like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of garbage up in there. And over the years, I've had a chance to dig through it, and there's a lot of miscellaneous stuff. But what I'm getting at, Ken, if I could get there, is if the sports complex went away, we would still have to do the closure.
That's correct.
What would that cost?
We would probably be looking at anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million in cost to perform the closure.
So from that perspective, it's actually cheaper to be a participant in this development.
I can think of my time here in Astoria and in my career. I don't think I've seen such a win-win situation for multiple different agencies, and the cooperation and the teamwork that has been brought together by our city council leadership, the mayor, has been very interesting. And I think, you know, as a utility ratepayer or a resident of this community, I think a lot of people from various agencies have worked very hard to put this together, and it's been very successful.
Now, Williamsport Road, that's a city road, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do you anticipate needing to do some improvements to that? Assuming the sports complex will generate a great amount of traffic, and a lot of it's going to happen incrementally. In other words, a big ball game or a softball tournament or something, all of a sudden you got all these cars going through there on a road that isn't designed for it.
The school district has plans to have traffic control set up for these events because, again, like you said, it's not...
Oh, flaggers and stuff?
It's, yes.
Oh.
So it's not going to be needed all the time, because, like you said, there's specific dates and times for sports events that, you know, otherwise the road just handles the traffic normally. But there will be provisions for making it as safe as it possibly can be.
Yeah. What other projects have you got on the horizon?
This summer we've got over $500,000 worth of paving projects that will be spun up, and we will make sure that they're not in conflict with the bridge project. But you will, residents will see that project going on, and we're in the planning phases for the next COSO project. We're getting set for hiring a design engineer for what we're going to call is the 16th Street Combined Sewer Overflow, which is essentially, that's the center, and it'll be the streets adjacent to 16th Street as well, where there'll be some separation activities that will occur in the summer of 2015. So we're in the, like I said, we're just starting the design phase for that part of the program.
You know, I can't help but wonder what would happen if the city just said, hey, we're not spending any more money on this CSO stuff because it's really expensive and we can't afford it.
Well, we were successful in arguing when I found out that we were being held to a different standard than the city of Portland. We were successful in going before the Environmental Quality Commission, which is the oversight agency of the Department of Environmental Quality, and we were able to negotiate a different, that get the control level down, and we basically saved the city $10 million in what the original agreement had been set up.
Well, that wasn't exactly my question, but
well, okay.
What if you just told him, hey, get lost?
Okay, yeah, circle the wagons and just, you know, and say, come get us. Well, what I've been told is the federal government, the EPA, would come in and basically take over the functions of wastewater, and it would be a mess. It would be not pretty.
Yeah, we should get them to come in and take over the port. Hey, we're running out of time, but I've got a question here from our engineer. The city was fooling around with the idea of generating electricity up at the headworks. Mm-hmm. What's, kind of tell us what's going on with that?
Well, the good news is that we've had a variety of permitting issues that we've had to go through, and it's taken several years to do that. But we've got all the grant funding in place to have that project start this summer, and we will be generating enough electricity to run the whole facility at the headworks, and then the excess will be put back into the grid.
How much is it going to cost, and how much electricity is going to be produced?
I'm trying to remember. I think it's 40 kilowatts of power during peak.
Yeah, kilowatt hours.
Yeah, and the cost of the project is going to be approximately $300,000 to $400,000.
That seems like a pretty reasonable cost for 40 kW, doesn't it?
Well, that's basically steady forever. Yeah. Hey, and just before we run out of time, I just want to say that, you know, I am the director of public works, but I have to say that I couldn't do the job that I do without all of the people we have that work in our operations and engineering divisions, and that we've got a great team of professionals that really care about, you know, doing the very best
work. I agree.
Yeah, and so
I've watched that department for the last 30-something years, and I think you've done a remarkable job there.
Yeah, again, as I said, we've got great people.
Well, we got to wind it up now. It's been Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and next week we're going to be talking with our tsunami expert, who will be coming in, and I understand that OPB is going to be down here filming next year's interview, or next week's interview somehow. So
is that Patrick Corcoran?
Patrick Corcoran, yes.
Yeah.
who's an interesting guy to talk with.
Yeah.
It's been Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'd like to invite everybody to stick around for Albert Smith's Friday Folk Show, which is always wonderful. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next week.